Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
It is 2:07. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. If you have listened to this show for any amount of time, you know that I talk a lot about my four children. Andrew, who's 18 and in college at St. Cloud State. Brandon and Cameron, 12 and 11. Middle schoolers and Daniel, my youngest son, who turns 10 in a couple of weeks. Brandon, Cameron, and Daniel have autism, and I share their journey and their story to inspire other parents who have kids with special needs to never lose hope so that they can see that things can and will get better. Daniel did not talk, did not look at me, was not potty trained when he was 4.5 years old. And he heard Lil Nas X's Old Town Road, and the boy started singing. Nobody taught him that song. We did not sit down with flashcards. The therapist didn't work on it. He just heard it and started singing. And that's when we knew music is how you teach him. Music is how you reach him. So all of the therapists immediately and teachers started using music to educate him. That boy got potty trained. He started reading. He started communicating with us all through music. That was at 4.5 years old, and today he turns 10 on November 29th. He is reading on a 9th grade level. He is doing math on a 10th grade level. And he was the first kid with autism elected to student council at his elementary school. There's a parent out there who needs to hear that, who needs to know that is what's possible. My child is not special. We just kept pressing, kept praying, kept trying, kept doing whatever it was that we had to do to make sure that he got to wherever it was that God wanted him to be. So whenever I see or hear stories that impact kids with autism, that educate parents, that help them access resources and services that would benefit their families, I think, you know what? I got to let people know about it. And so that's why I invited Rose Quintero to the show. She is with PACER. And Rose, I just can't thank you enough for being here. Rose is joining us courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. And I'm going to ask y'all to put Rose on hold because I'm hearing some feedback. She may need to turn her radio down. And I'm going to ask y'all to put her on hold so you can talk to her and ask her to turn her radio down so that everybody who's listening to Rose can hear exactly what she's saying, because the message that she has, the information that she is going to be giving us is so important for families, especially in the Latino and the Somali community, because a lot of those families who have kids with autism for a long time, they were in denial. You know, especially in communities of color, I'm here to tell y'all, when there's something wrong, quote unquote, wrong with the children, as parents, we take that personal and we feel like it reflects back on us. And so we don't want the children to have a mark on their back. Right. We don't want them to have a target. They're already in communities of color. They're already a minority. There are already some stigmas. And so we don't want one more thing. We don't want that autism label, right? And so we delay therapy. We delay a diagnosis. And so our kids are behind a lot of times. So anytime I can educate my Latino and Somali families about resources that are available, I try to do that. And so, Rose, I thank you so much for the work that you do, for the work that folks at the PACER Center do. And I appreciate you so much for being here with us.
Well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate being here as well.
Now, for folks who've never heard of PACER, I have a lot of autism families who are moving here from other states and other parts of the country because they've heard about PACER, they've heard about Frazier, they've heard about Family Achievement Center, they've heard about the Lovaas Institute, and they want their children to be in a state that pays for ABA therapy, that has legislators that put families first. And so a lot of times they'll tell them, hey, there's a lady on the radio from 12 to 3. She talks a lot about autism. So there may be some families that don't know about PACER. What is PACER?
Yeah, thanks for asking that question. PACER is a statewide family organization. So we work statewide, and we try and help families navigate the special education system, the educational system, as well as the health system. So we want to kind of be like your GPS with trying to figure out, you know, what is going on with your child's school, AP services, and then where can we direct you so you can advocate for the support that your child needs, which I know, Shaletta, you are an expert on.
Yeah, and I have to say I've gotten a lot of information from PACER about how to advocate for my kids, what to say, what terminology. I remember when I didn't realize that my children should have been on disability waivers, which meant they got access to resources that I didn't have before. I was working 8 p.m. to 4 a.m. right here at WCCO Radio on weekends and then up all day. Taking care of my kids, and I didn't know that there were services available, and you all gave me the exact names of the programs that I needed to be a part of and sign up for so that my kids could get those resources, and I just can't thank y'all enough because that saved my life and allowed me to sleep.
That's especially important for any parent, but especially a parent that is raising children with disabilities. We have to make sure we get what we need and our kids get what they need. And many times, you know, the child themselves cannot advocate for that. So we want to make sure that parents have all that information, whether it's the health system, the education system, so understanding what your rights are, what your child might be entitled to. There are so many parents we work with that, you know, have concerns about their child's services at school, but they just don't know what they can do about it. They don't know that they can disagree with something if they have some concerns about it. And once they know that, it's like what you were saying with the waivered services. Something is lifted. And you know you can move forward and get your child what they need.
And I need to let everybody out there know, go to PACER.org, PACER.org, Champions for Children with Disabilities. You can get information on workshops, students as well as young adults. There's events coming up. Sign up for that newsletter. You can log right there on the page and get that information. And one of the things, because I read the website almost weekly, I get the newsletter. I was excited to see that you have new resources for Latino and Somali families, parents who have kids with autism and other disabilities. Talk to me about these new videos and the tip sheets that you have provided and the information to help parents better advocate for their kids at school.
Yeah, I would love to do that, especially because these resources don't make sense unless people can access them, you know, and get the word out. So I so appreciate that. So these are a set of videos. We actually have them in three languages, so English as well. And we're seeing that, you know, a lot of families can benefit from it. But this specific project, we were really trying to reach those two communities because we know there's a lot of barriers. There can be a lot of stigma, as you mentioned. And maybe just the offer of service doesn't get into that community in the same way it might in an English-speaking community or a different community. So there are videos that cover some basic concerns and topics like, you know, what if I feel my child needs an IEP? What can I do? Going to my first IEP meeting and I don't know how to prepare. And we made them short, you know, like bite-sized. So you could watch the whole video in 3.5 minutes. And then at the end, you still have questions. You call PACER. You ask to speak with an advocate. So we have them in Somali. We have them in Spanish, have them in English. And then we have companion tip sheets. And so those are one-page documents with these tips on it. So we really appreciate you getting the word out about it.
I just cannot thank you enough for putting this together, for being here, for making sure that we provide this information to these families. And again, they can access that at PACER.org, PACER.org. You can go there and find not just that resource, but so many others.
Yes.
And for folks who are internet insecure, who need to speak with an advocate, I need to make sure you all know 952-838-9000 is the number. 952-838-9000 is the number that you can call, talk to an advocate to make sure that your child is getting the benefits and the services that they need to live their best life. Miss Rose Quintero, thank you so much for being on the Shaletta Show.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. And thank
all
you
right.
for everything you did, Shaletta.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You know, we all got to do
yeah.
our part, and you all do an amazing part at PACER. And you all stick around. There's more to come. It is 2:22. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. I tell you, the world is just going crazy, just stone crazy and locomotion. Who steals trees? Who is digging up trees to steal? And where do you put trees? Who is the damn tree thief? Did y'all see the story? They went over on Shepherd and dug up the trees, like thousands of dollars worth of trees. Vandals. I mean, who wants to be known as the tree thief? You gotta get this. Okay, so here's all the stuff you need. You need a shovel.
Mm-hmm.
You need a flatbed truck because you got to dig up the trees and take them somewhere. They didn't just leave the trees. You know, they didn't just dig them up and leave them there so they could be replanted. They took them, right? You got to go in the middle of the night. Otherwise, somebody's going to call the city or a city crew's going to see you. So you got to go to sleep all day and wait till the middle of the night. Can you just get a job? Everybody is hiring. Why do you want to be the tree thief? What do you do with these trees when you get them? I mean, is it that you're planting them at your house and you're too cheap to buy trees? Where in the hell are they taking the trees that they stole in St. Paul? Thousands of dollars worth of trees. And so now the city has to go back and buy more trees to plant. But I mean, how do you keep the tree thief from stealing trees? You can't put you don't have bike lock. You know, if you got a bike and you ride your bike and you take it somewhere, you can take the lock and you can lock it to a pole and you're good. How do you stop the tree thief? What do you do to prevent the person from taking the trees again? Can we not have anything? And then the mail. Did y'all see the story? This lady was caught with 500 pieces of mail in her possession. Over 100 homes she hit stealing mail. Lady, there's nothing in the mailbox except bills. There's nothing in the mail. Everybody is getting paid electronically. Nobody is getting anything in the mail. And these kids don't even have credit cards. They got Apple Pay. Everything's on the phone. All she got was a bunch of Xcel Energy bills and probably flyers from the election.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I'm going to tell y'all what. If these politicians and political candidates paid as much attention to us when they weren't trying to get our vote as they did when they were, there would be no undecided voters. I got no less than 7 flyers a day the last 3 weeks leading up to the election. I don't know about y'all, but I got about 10 to 15 text messages and or phone calls about donating to one campaign or another, about showing up at one event or another, about, you know, making sure that I told my relatives about voting and the importance of voting. Some of them were trying to make me afraid. Some of them were trying to make me empowered. The people who are running these campaigns are very schizophrenic. I'm like, look, you either going to empower me or scare the hell out of me. Which one is it going to be? Because one text tells me how scary the Democrats are, and the next text tells me that I have the power to make change. I can be crazy all by myself. I don't need no help. Don't scare me and then empower me all in the next two text messages. But I'm telling you, that's got to be all this woman got. If she got 500 pieces of mail, I guarantee you 99.9% of them were either bills or campaign flyers from folks who were running for one office or another. But what are you doing? Are you just following the mail lady around, and if she puts the mail in, you go in and take the mail out? People are gonna see you. That's how you got caught. So we got a tree thief and a mail thief. I'm guessing nobody's robbing banks anymore, because we're getting real creative. And you know, you really don't have to do that, because I promise you, everybody is hiring. You cannot go down the street and not see a sign, whether it is at the McDonald's or Menards. Heck, if you're going to be the mail thief, the post office is hiring. You just go get a job, and then you can get some benefits and get your teeth fixed. You don't have to steal mail. You can actually deliver it and get paid. And you don't have to try and, you know, go through all those bills to see if somebody's got a credit card in there that you can use. So now you've got federal offense. Because you stole the mail, you've got some other state charges because, you know, the identity theft, if you tried to use anybody's credit card, and there may be some additional federal offenses depending on whose mail you stole and whose credit card you're using. So you can just, you know, nip all that in the bud and just go down to the post office to get hired, because apparently you're really good at delivering and getting mail. But I just, you know, I wish the tree thief would just, you know, get him a couple of lawnmowers and a couple of rakes and just start doing some yards. You know, my yard was full of leaves, and, you know, we needed to clean it up, do some fall cleanup. And I had to pay Mr. J.C. Cormier $500 because Andrew's in college. And, you know, Andrew was my yard man. And so I didn't have my yard man here, so I had to hire somebody. Now, if the tree thief is stealing, he could also be working, and maybe he can, you know, cut these prices down, and I wouldn't have to pay Mr. JC so much. I could get him over here for half that rate, and then he wouldn't have to steal trees. See how that works? See, with the job situation, you get a job. Mm-hmm. And then you won't have to worry about stealing and sneaking in the middle of the night, and your blood pressure goes up, your heart rate goes up, you'll have a heart attack. You can have stroke stealing. Working is good, honest money, good, honest pay. You can get benefits. You can send your kids to college. You can, you know, have your little get your little car, and then you don't have the charges. See how that works? You can be a voter. You don't have to have, you know, a felony offense and then, you know, not be able to vote because you're in jail. You know, and you can be a part of the process. Mm-hmm. See how that works. You don't have to steal. There are too many opportunities for you to have an honest profession, doing exactly what you love to do, which is apparently yard work and the mail. Right. Those two things they love to do. So instead of stealing and making national news, because that's some strange crimes, right? You can just go ahead and get you a real job. Now, I got a real job. I got 30 more minutes of the Shaletta Show, and we'll be right back to give it to you. You know, I do a lot of stuff in the community, whether it is giving out carbon monoxide detectors or these interior combination door locks to help keep kids with autism safe from wandering away from homes, the turkey or Thanksgiving baskets, the Easter baskets, the Christmas toys. You know, I have just been blessed to be a blessing. But I got to tell y'all, and I told this to my mama, the most meaningful thing that I've done this year so far is the brunch for black women last Saturday at the Minneapolis Club. After the election, so many black women were very down and felt defeated because we thought we were about to see the first African-American female president. We were about to witness something that our ancestors had prayed for and that we had dreamed that our grandmothers never thought would be possible. And then when the results came in, and we honored those results and the numbers came back and we saw that that was not going to happen, we took that loss very personally. And I mean, up and down my timeline, it was just sadness. And I felt that, if we're going to talk honestly, from black women. And so my best friend, Fanchon Good, called me from Houston and she was like, Shaletta, you got to do something. I said, girl, what you want me to do? Well, you're going to have to do something because everybody say it. Okay, everybody say it. I mean, we can all go to church. What? I hung up on her. That's a lot of responsibility. To lift the spirits of all the black women in Minnesota. Girl, look, I got 4 kids and a business to run. And later on that day, I got a call from Jamela Pettifor with the exact same directive. Shaletta, you got to do something. And that's when I knew that this was an assignment from God. So I called the Minneapolis Club. I booked a room. I got a DJ. And I got two days to do this. Not even 2 days to do it. In 2 days, it got to happen. In 2 days, I got to get the word out. In 2 days, I got to get the catering. In 2 days, I got to get the drinks. In 2 days, I got to get the folks in the room. And in 2 days, it was just the most beautiful event. Hundreds of black women came, and they came with tears and sadness, and they left out filled with joy and strength to go out and keep fighting, to keep trying, to keep pushing, to keep pressing. We went from being depressed to being determined. And probably the thing that made it the most meaningful event that I've done this year so far is the way in which black women ask me, how can I help? What can I do? How can I support you? And the one thing that I wanted to do was put black female therapists in the room. So that if someone wanted to talk or felt a little extra down or, you know, didn't see a way out or felt hopeless, that there was somebody that they could talk to who was a professional. And so Marley James jumped up and was like, I'm going to be there. I was like, well, wait a minute, Marley, you just had a baby. You're on maternity leave from your own job, your own practice. You can't just be coming out the house. And she was like, no, I'm going to be there. And she showed up and she helped so many of those women. And Marley, I just have to say thank you for being available. Thank you for being a light. Thank you for being a listening ear to the women who really needed to talk to you last Saturday.
I was very thankful to be there. I think it was one of those experiences that helped me as well. You know, at Reviving Roots, one of the things that we kind of bank on is community and building community, because there's not a lot of black therapists out there. So when the resources are low, community comes together and we support each other. And so it was a beautiful experience just to be a part of and see all these black women experiencing joy in the face of what feels like a really big betrayal.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, you are with Reviving Roots. Some people may be hearing about your company for the first time. Talk to us about Reviving Roots.
So Reviving Roots is a holistic mental health and wellness space that is Black-centered, Black-serving, and Black-affirming. So the focus of what we do is really with the understanding that just about 3% of mental health professionals are people of color, not even black, but just people of color. There's not a lot of resources out there for black folks who are looking specifically for a black therapist, for somebody who they feel like can understand them and where they're coming from. And so at Reviving Roots, we offer not only mental health therapy, but we also create spaces where there can be community through book clubs and game nights and mixers and things like that, and yoga practice, somatic practice, just things that can get people into their bodies and take care of their well-being in that way. That's kind of what we do.
Now, how long has Reviving Roots been around? Because some folks may be hearing about it for the first time.
Yeah, Reviving Roots has been around since 2019. I started it as a solo practice, really just as a way to not have a job or not have a boss as my as a therapist on my own. And it really grew into this holistic mental health practice during COVID and after George Floyd. And I know that was a really activating time for a lot of people. And so I had almost 100 people on my waiting list at the time for Reviving Roots. And I knew as a person on my own, I couldn't see that many people as a therapist. And so the idea popped up. Why can't I offer boxing and yoga and all of these other things that are also healing for the Black community?
And that is one thing that you are doing. Reviving Roots is offering yoga as well as self-defense and free of charge on Saturdays. Talk to me about that.
Yeah. So while I was on maternity leave, my glorious team put together a Saturday kind of circuit. And so every Saturday for the last few months leading up to the election, we've been having election support groups, just to support people and their stresses and anxieties around the election and what was coming up. But that same day, we also normally have yoga practice at 10 a.m. and we have self-defense at 12 p.m. And so, you know, that after the election, it really became clear that, you know, there was a lot of feelings of betrayal, a lot of feelings of sadness and fear from our community. And so we thought, why not let the community know that all of these things were happening? Because I think a lot of times when you're feeling so betrayed or feeling so afraid, you feel it in your body. And so yoga practice can help you to center and ground yourself. It's self-defense can help you to feel empowered and feel strong in your body and to fight another day. And so that's what they came up with, and I'm really glad. I walked back to work this week and saw a beautiful group of people taking care of themselves.
Wow. So you got to tell me before we go, how do folks get in touch with you? Because I'm sitting up here, girl, and my phone is going off. People be texting me like I'm not really on my job on the radio talking live. They texting me like I could just tell you to hold on and talk to them. They're like, how can I get in touch with her? How can I sign up for this class? Is it full? Is there still space available? How can folks get in touch with you at Reviving Roots?
So you can always just sign up with us at www.reviving-roots.com. Another really, really good way of staying in touch with us is through social media. So we have an Instagram page, which is Reviving Roots Therapy and Wellness. We also have a Facebook page with the same name. And if you're, you know, want to be professional with it, we got a LinkedIn page as well. And that's a really good way to get in touch with us. But I would really say, just come to class. The next Saturday is our final post-election group. And so I think it'll be really great to have a good turnout. And the more people that come, the more we know what types of things we need to continue to do. And so we have seen a really strong showing and following for this group, and so it might be something that we continue in the future, especially as we get up to the inauguration.
Well, I thank you so much again for being there for me, for the Black Woman's Brunch, and for the free yoga classes and self-defense classes that you are providing at Reviving Roots. You have a beautiful new baby. You got to tell everybody the baby's name, because your kids have some amazing names. So you did a theme. You got the S's going. I love it. I love the S thing.
Yes. So my firstborn's name is Salim, and it means peace. And the secondborn, who was just born 3 months ago, his name is Solomon.
I love it.
With the meaning of peace. So hopefully we can bring some peace into the world.
We're going to have some peace through you and the work that you do, peace through your babies. And I thank you so much for everything that you do for the community. Marlee James joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Welcome back after maternity leave, girl. We missed you and we need you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me and for uplifting our stories. I appreciate you.
All right. You all stick around. There's more to come. It is 2:52. It is 53 degrees outside, and I am enjoying this. This is my favorite part of the show. I get to talk to my friend Steve Thompson, who has a whole show coming up next. What's going on, Steve?
Hey, Shalada. I look forward to the show today, and I've enjoyed your show, as always. Hey, great work on what you've done all over the country, providing these locks to protect kids. It's just great work.
You know, I'm going to be in London, Ohio next weekend. That's where I'm going to be doing my show from. I just told my kids. I just booked my ticket. I'm leaving Thursday. And it's finally a happy story, Steve. You know, 99.9% of the time when these kids get out of the house and they run while the parents are asleep, they go right to a lake or a creek or a bayou, and it's a wrap. But this time the kid was running down the street. The police just happened to be doing patrols on that block. They saw that kid running at full speed, flapping his hands in the middle of the night, no shoes, no socks, in his pajamas. They bust a Yui. They got there. He had just jumped into the creek. They were able to pull him out. He is alive. I'm going to go hug his mama. I'm going to high five his daddy, Steve, because when I go out, I'm usually meeting a mother who's giving me a teddy bear or a blanket or talking to me about how they had to bury their child or giving me a funeral arrangement. This is going to be the first time, Steve, when I go to give locks away, that I'm going to actually get to meet the child and the parents, and the baby's still alive. Yeah.
Yeah. It is a tremendous cause.
I tell you, and you know, just trying to let the Lord use me. The Lord need to use me to go talk to the Netflix people, because I'm going to tell you something right now, Steve Thompson. My daddy is upset. He signed up for Netflix so he could watch this fight last night, and everybody did too, and everybody's Netflix was crashing.
Yeah, my daughter tried to watch. I saw on social media that it was just, I really had no interest in the fight itself. Here's some young loudmouth against an old man. I mean, Mike Tyson was great in the day, but I mean, he's a kid.
Yeah.
Against an old man. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
So I had no interest in actually seeing the fight. But she had all sorts of problems. She's got a Netflix thing, and I just said, you're going to have nothing but trouble. And here's the thing. This is kind of the draw or dry run for not one, but two NFL games on Christmas Day that are going to be exclusively on Netflix. They better get it figured out.
Steve, they don't have no more dry runs. They need another practice. They need to see if they can borrow an NBA game or something, or a G League game, or get some WNBA players to do a scrimmage or something, because they got to do another practice. Because if this was it, if this was the final before they pull the trigger on these NFL games, they're going to be toast. People are going to be pissed. It's a Christmas Day football game, and y'all playing around like that?
Right, and it's not like it's a free thing where, oh, you watch free on the stream, it didn't work. People are paying their hard-earned money, and that's where that line gets crossed, and people are going to want their money back.
My daddy already want his money back, Steve, because that's the only reason he signed up, was to watch this fight, because he's a big, you know, old school boxing fan, and to watch that football game. He ain't need no Netflix.
Yeah, I just would like to see Paul fight someone his age who's an accomplished fighter.
No, he's not going to do that because then he's going to get beat up.
Mike Tyson's an old man. I mean, kid against old man, it's just,
I just, Paul's not going to fight anybody because he's not a real for real fighter. So, why would he want to get knocked out? He could do these gimmicky, fights that draw a lot of media attention that people, are going to be hyped about. That's not really for real boxing. But he don't want to fight no real boxing to get knocked out. Then all his money's gone. Then, he's got no hook.
Yeah, I'm not going to contribute to it. Count me up. I feel bad for your dad. Erin gave up. She tried. She just went and did something else. she was done.
Oh, shucks. Well, we are done. But feel good. Steve Thompson is coming up next. You guys have a great weekend. I'll be live next weekend from London, Ohio.